Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 13, the nature of the enjoyer in consciousness, text number 5. Rishi Vira Bahuda Gitam Chando Vira Vividam Pritak Rama Sutra Padaischaiva Hetumad Vira Vinishchitai Rishubi, by the wise sages, Bahuda, in many ways, Gitam, described, Chandobi, by Vedic hymns, Vividai, various, Pritak, variously, Brahmasutra, of the Vedanta, Padai, by the aphorisms. Sha, also. Eva, certainly. Hetu Madhvi, with cause and effect. Vinishchitai, certain. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. That knowledge of the field of activities and the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is specially presented in the Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as the cause and effect. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the highest authority in explaining this knowledge. Still, as a matter of course, learned scholars instead, authorities always give evidence from previous authorities. Krishna is explaining this most confidential, controversial point regarding the duality and non-duality of the soul and the supersoul by referring to a scripture, the Vedanta, which is accepted as authority. First, he says, this is according to different sages. As far as the sages are concerned, besides himself, Vyasadeva, the author of Vedanta Sutra, is a great sage. And in the Vedanta Sutra, duality is perfectly explained. And Vyasadeva's father, Parasara, is also a great sage, and he writes in his books of religiosity, Aham Tvam Cha Tatanye. We, you, and I, and the various other living entities are all transcendental, although in material bodies. Now we are fallen into the ways of the three modes of material nature, according to our different karma. As such, some are on a higher level, and some are in a lower nature. The higher and lower natures exist due to ignorance, are being manifested in an infinite number of living entities. But the supersoul, which is infallible, is uncontaminated by the three qualities of nature and is transcendental. Similarly, in the original Vedas, the distinction between the soul, the supersoul, and the body is made, especially in the Kathi Upanishad. There are many great sages who explain this, and Parasara is considered principal among them. The word Chandovi refers to the various Vedic literatures. The Taittiriya Upanishad, for example, which is a branch of the Yajurveda, describes nature of the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated before, Kshetra is the field of activities, and there are two kinds of Kshetra Gya, the individual living entity and the Supreme Living Entity. As stated in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahma Pucham Pratishta. There is a manifestation of the Supreme Lord's energy known as Anamaya, dependence upon food for existence. This is the materialistic realization of the Supreme. Then in Pranamaya, after realizing the Supreme Absolute Truth in food, one can realize the Absolute Truth in the living symptoms of or life forms. In Gyanamaya, realization extends beyond the living symptoms to the point of thinking, feeling, and willing. Then there is Brahman realization called Vijnanamaya, in which the living entity's mind and his symptoms are distinguished from the living entity himself. The next and supreme stage is Anandamaya, realization of the all-blissful nature. Thus there are five stages of Brahman realization, which are called Brahma Pucham. Out of these, the first three, Anamaya, Pranamaya, and Jnanamaya, involve the field of activities of the living entities. Transcendental to all these fields of activities is the Supreme Lord, who is called Anandamaya. The Vedanta Sutra also describes the Supreme Lord by saying, Anandamaya Vyasa. The Supreme Personality of God is by nature full of joy. Joy is transcendental bliss. He expands himself into Vijnanamaya, Pranamaya, Jnanamaya, and Anandamaya. In the field of activities, the living entity is considered to be the enjoyer, and different from him is the Anandamaya. This means that if the living entity decides to enjoy and dovetailing himself with the Anandamaya, then he becomes perfect. This is the real picture of the Supreme Lord as the supreme knower of the field. The living entity is the subordinate knower and the nature of the field of activities. One has to search for this truth in the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra. It is mentioned here that the codes of the Brahma Sutra are very nicely arranged according to cause and effect. Some of the sutras or aphorisms are Na Vijayat Ashute, Natma Shute, and Paratu Tachute. The first aphorism indicates the field of activities. The second indicates the living entity, and the third indicates the Supreme Lord, the sonam bonum among all the manifestations of various entities. So the text again. Rishivir bodha kitam chandrovir vividait pritak brahma sutra padai shaiva hetumadvir vinishchitai. That knowledge of the field of activities and of the knower of activities described by various sages in various Vedic writings, is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. Here it mentions that everything is Brahman, that there are different ways of realizing Brahman, Anamaya, Pranamaya, Jnanamaya, Vijnanamaya, and Anandamaya. So everyone is situated in some form of Krishna's energy and is trying to enjoy that energy. In other words, the nature of the living entity is to enjoy. So wherever our consciousness goes, that's where we're trying to enjoy. Generally speaking, whatever we hear, because everything is based on hearing, that's where we try to put our consciousness into trying to enjoy. Therefore, there's so much advertisement for eating. Every restaurant has dozens of dishes put out on their advertisement, come and enjoy. Very rarely do they say, come and suffer. But because people have faith that by anamaya they can actually enjoy, however brief that enjoyment may be, therefore they're attracted to dedicate much of their energy into try to enjoy through the tongue, through anamaya. As a matter of fact, it says, the first fall down in devotional service is atiyahara, eating too much. That's the cause of everyone's problem, is eating too much. But generally speaking, when we sign for prasadam, we don't think, oh, I have to be careful. I shouldn't eat too much. No, the first thing we think is, wow, I'm free. It's time to enjoy. I just hope it's enjoyable. That's the only prayer is, God, please send me something enjoyable so I can enjoy. So this is anamaya. It may be prasadam, but if we look at it as an object of our enjoyment, then it becomes, that's exactly what it is, anamaya, trying to experience the material energy through eating. Now, every living entity in the material world, practically speaking, has that mentality. If you we come back as an amoeba, you know what an amoeba is? Then we'll spend our whole life trying to absorb other amoebas. We're going to have an opportunity to eat. Maybe there's chocolate amoebas for Amida, amoebas, strawberry amoebas. But eating will be there, the whole, and you have a body, you can spend the whole time absorbing other living entities. And even if you get fat, no one will complain. We never heard of people criticizing a fat amoeba or amoeba going on a diet. No, you can absorb as much as you want and you're all right. Now, beyond that is called pranamaya, where you actually differentiate between what's alive and what's dead. Unfortunately, modern civilization, they can't figure that out. It's too subtle for them. I mean, I'm not being sarcastic. It's actually a fact. Just like if they hear, of course, people don't like to go to a slaughterhouse. But many people who are in a slaughterhouse somehow or another become so insensitive, that if they hear the cow or the other living entities screaming, they just think it's some kind of physical reaction, some air moving. To the point that even they could see a child being killed in the womb, they just think it's a physical reaction. It's not conscious. He couldn't possibly be conscious. We're not killing a human being. It's just a what do they call it? It's an organ you're taking out. Like you cut out a toe, you cut your toenail, so you cut out the organ called an embryo. So they can't even figure out what the symptoms of life are. The person, the living entity, you try to kill it, it's drawing back, it's practically screaming. Oh, it's just a chemical reaction. So that means that they've lost their intelligence completely. They appear to be human beings, because a human being is supposed to have some discrimination. But they're just on the level of a tiger. A tiger never considers that maybe I shouldn't eat this deer because it might be someone's mother, and then you'll have a homeless deer cub. It wouldn't be very polite. No, the tiger never considers that this living entity, this deer, is breathing like I am. It's thinking also. It wants some shelter. Except it doesn't consider. So human beings have become those who are relatively less sinful, they're on the level of the animals, like a tiger. And those who are more sinful, they're even less than the animals. Because a tiger doesn't, on Saturday, it doesn't go hunting for sport. Doesn't think, oh, I got enough food for my family, but I'm a little bored, let me go out and kill a few animals just to make me feel good today. The human beings have come to that even lower than the animals. Although they praise each other, how wonderful they are. But this is simply in the kingdom of the what? It's folly to be wise. In the kingdom of the fools or something, at least in English. In any case, people, they glorify hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, according to the Bhagavatam. They glorify the big hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, but they never glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead who carries a club. So we have to see what is people's vision, not just what they're doing, but what actually is their vision, how are they seeing the world? And how many of the people outside of the Krishna consciousness movement see things even partially correctly. You know, the living entity, as Prabhupada was giving one talk on the roof of the Mumbai, the temple in Juhu, early when they just got the temple, Prabhupada used to give darshan on the roof, and he was explaining that if you hurt someone, if you pinch someone, that they feel pain. Either they have a black body or a white body, whatever body they have, if you pinch them, they feel pain. So this idea that, you know, you have a black body, therefore you're not really a human being, or you have a white body, you're not human. No, there's a soul within the body, and the soul feels pain no matter what kind of body you have, if you pinch it. Even the animals, they feel pain. So that's a human being. Yakpashyati, sapashyati. He sees that there's a soul inside of everyone's body, just like we are. Otherwise, it's just animal less than animal life. And then there's jnana maya, which is understanding of the, what does Prabhupada say here? Does he explain jnana maya? Thinking, feeling, willing. There's pranamaya. Oh, okay. So pranamaya is just the fact that you're breathing. And jnana maya means that you actually have the capacity to think about something and to figure out whether you should do it or not to do it. And then to feel about it, whether it's good or bad. And then to will to do it. So that's the use. In ISKCON, we used to have this whole thing about proactive. You've heard of that? There's a big philosophy, proactive. What does proactive mean? Does anyone know? Yeah, well, something like that. Proactive, well, that's, proactive means that before you do something, you think about the consequences. What's going to be the result? So you just don't. B.F. Skinner, who was my acharya when I was in college, because I studied psychology. Horrible thing. So B.F. Skinner, he got it from Pavlov, he got it from someone else, everyone takes the credit. But he just, conditioning means there's a stimuli and a reflex. And according to them, with the Pavlov's dog, they ring the bell, and then they give the food to the dog, and the dog would produce saliva to digest the food. And they kept on doing that, and finally they didn't give any food, they just rang the bell, and the dog produced saliva. They say, there it is, that's how the whole world works. We're all a bunch of dogs anyhow. And therefore, you know, you just ring a bell and the human beings will do the same thing. They have no brains. There's no restraint in their senses. They have no intelligence, because I guess practically everyone he was working with had no intelligence, and he had no intelligence either. No spiritual intelligence. Therefore, the idea, as soon as you put a stimuli in front of someone, then immediately there'll be a reaction to it. So you just control everyone, because that's the whole material world. Since time immemorial, everyone, big, small, in between, every species of life, everyone comes here just to control. Because after all, it wouldn't be any fun. There's not much fun in the material world, except for controlling things. If you say to someone, jump, and they jump, they go, oh, God is good. So if no one else jumps, then you get a dog. You say, you jump, kid. You better jump. You want to eat? Then you think, ah, he loves me, you know. He listens to me. So this action, you know, stimuli, reflex, et cetera, this is thinking. But they don't think that actually with thinking, you can actually think about doing something other than just, you know, whatever your feelings are telling you to do. And then willing, you can actually, there's such a thing as spiritual intelligence, which can change your motivations, your directions of things. But because people have no conviction, therefore their motivations, their values, their commitments are all just completely whimsical, whatever feels good. As Manidhapuru used to say when he used to go on book distribution, you give someone a book, and immediately they look at it and think whether it reminded them of chocolate or strawberry. If they like chocolate, I think I'll buy it, you know. Put it next to my chocolate collection. That's as deep as they get into the book. Of course, there may be some nice pictures there. Strawberry, vanilla. So there's thinking, there's feeling, and then there's willing. And people, in between their thinking, feeling, and willing, there's no space. Therefore, that's the difference between the devotees who are advancing a little bit in Krishna consciousness. They actually have some conscience, which is considered very bad in the material world nowadays. In other words, the vernacular for that is called they're hung up. You know what hung up means? You've heard that before? They feel, or there's a sense of lack of esteem. They suffer from lack of esteem, self-esteem. Which means that for the materialists, they see an object, they immediately go for it. There's no thought in between. As I've given that analogy many times, a man is walking down the street and he sees a beautiful woman and immediately the mind says, go get her. But if there's a little bit of intelligence, it goes, beep, beep, don't do it. She has a dot on her forehead. I think there's some book you read 3 years ago, it was called the Bhagavad Gita, something about someone has a dot, they might be married. And she also has a husband, this man right next to her. Who knows, you know. So the person is not completely surrendered to the modern society. He hasn't become, as they say nowadays, woke. So he actually has some conscience left. But the mind says, oh, don't listen to this, whatever. You think that's intelligence? That's old fashioned. No one listens to that anymore. That the only rule is that there are no rules. That if it feels good, then you do it. And the soul says, yeah, that sounds perfectly reasonable, much more than that boring philosophy, that book I used to read and fall asleep. Yeah, that I can understand that. That actually goes directly to my heart. Makes me... So then the soul says, intelligence, think of a way how to meet her. So there's no in-between. There's no, you know, whether I should do it or not. No, no, my senses want it. I must do it. This is what my intelligence is for, to satisfy my senses. And then, of course, as we've heard before, then the intelligence says, well, write her a letter. Tell her she's the most beautiful thing that you've seen, and then small letters, in the last 2 weeks. Tell her you're madly in love with her. She should meet you in such and such place at such and such time. And you'll give her the stars and the moon and so many other things. But don't sign the letter, because the man next to her is twice as big as you are. So that's called material consciousness, thinking, feeling. That's a kind of, you're thinking, you're feeling and willing, but there's nothing, there's no intelligence in between. It's just like the animals, less than the animals. Like an animal, usually speaking, it has its own food. It doesn't try every food. You know, I've tried everything now, and I'm shopping in the grocery store. Chocolate-covered ants. They have that in America. I don't know if they have it here. I haven't tried that yet. chocolate, they sell chocolate-covered caterpillars. Anyone here want to eat chocolate-covered caterpillars? Caterpillars, yes. Yeah, the things that crawl. You haven't tried them yet? No, they're a little expensive, so I never bought them. But if you go to a place like North Korea, cockroaches are cheap. Yeah, you can buy them on the street. They put them in a box, all varieties. And like in America, they have pretzels. You can go on the street, and they have hot pretzels on the street. They have boxes where they keep the pretzels hot. You can go buy them. So there in Korea, they like cockroaches. So you can get them alive, especially if people like them alive. Because when you swallow them, they tickle your throat on the way down. And people want every new experience. You know, they get bored of the same thing over and over again, so they want something new. So try that out. I mean, we think that this is horrible and disgusting to think of such a thing. But the sages of Namrsharanya, they heard they were going to kill a cow. You know, they couldn't believe it. It was like, we could believe people are eating cockroaches nowadays. But they couldn't believe that someone would eat a cow. What to speak if they heard someone was paying money to jump off a building. People are completely crazy. Yeah, people are mad, insane. But then there's the other realization here called Brahman realization, which means beyond all this, when a human being actually realizes that this attachment and aversion that I'm experiencing, I'm just wasting my time because actually I'm a spirit soul. By nature, I'm joyful. Just by being, I'm joyful because I'm eternal. If we realize we're eternal, all these problems we have, 99.99% of whatever we're afraid of and whatever we're doing becomes just useless. Because 99.999% of what we're doing is just to survive here. Just like we have big kirtan, big, you know, festival for kirtan. And then we announce, sorry, for the next 3 days is a big kirtan program. Fantastic kirtan he is. Unfortunately, there's no prasadam. We hope you survive the 3 days because there's no water either. But we invite you to come. It's all free. Well, you won't have any problem coming because there'll be plenty of space. He might be the only kirtaniya there also. Because people don't want to go to a place, you know. Come and they want to go. The first thing is security. Our main anxiety is the fact that we want to be safe. Therefore, if we realize we're eternal, then we immediately become joyful. Because I have nothing to worry about. If I could tell everyone, I have a pill, and it's really cheap, I'm only charging 100,000 euros, and if you take it, you can live another 100 years. And we advertise it. And if it actually worked, you know, but you have to attend the Bhagavatam class. The place would be packed. People would be jumping over each other to pay the 100,000 euros to get a pill that will help them last for another 100 years. But if we tell them, come to the Bhagavatam class, you can live forever, they go, oh, I'm not interested. Because they don't believe it. Because they've lost they can't understand that they're actually eternal. They don't have to pay 100,000 euros to become eternal. They're already eternal. They just have to get out of illusion that they're this body. But that they're not willing to give up. And then there's Anandamaya Abhyasa. So in this age, people are not going to go after Brahman realization. They could care less if they're eternal. Because they're not interested in being eternal. They're interested in enjoying, imitating Radha and Krishna in this world. They're imitating and enjoying here. Whether they, you know, as it says, they'd rather be a small, big fish in a small pond than a small, how does that go? They'd rather be, yeah. So they'd rather suffer here and imagine that they're God than actually enjoy as a servant of God. As a servant of all, the person who makes everyone unlimitedly happy. And God, he comes here to become a servant. Because that's the highest pleasure. He knows that. So he comes and becomes the best servant. And we come here to become God. So it's kind of a mix-up. But there's an Anamaya Abhyasa. And if we somehow or another get enough intelligence to dovetail ourselves with Anandamaya Abhyasa, then all these other things in the material world, Brahman, Pranamaya, Anamaya, Vijnanamaya, whatever, they're all not considered to be very important anymore. Because we actually get what we're looking for, which is bliss, happiness. We just got it mixed up here, though. Whether we're trying to enjoy by eating, enjoying by lording it over the material nature, other living entities, taking their breath away, so to speak, or directing their breath, directing their energy. Or we're trying to enjoy here by the process of thinking, feeling, and willing, more or less making elaborate plans to control the material nature through our whatever material intelligence we have. Or we're trying to get out of this place called Vijnanamaya and enjoy as what we think we become God, the supreme, eternal, indestructible. Puts Superman to shame. There's no kryptonite for me here. I'm the sum total of all the superheroes. Or we want to enjoy through Anandamaya Abhyasa, the real happiness, the feelings of love for the Supreme, the most lovable object. If we want to have feelings that are spiritual, that give us unlimited bliss and pleasure and love, then we can try and dovetail that with Anandamaya Abhyasa. And that's what Srila Vyasadeva is recommending, is what Krishna is recommending here. And we should understand these things, so that we can understand how we're trying to enjoy the material world and what it's actually enjoyable. But it's all Krishna. It's all being supplied by Krishna. Krishna is just trying to satisfy us. He's giving this play, just like sometimes they give a child a little playhouse. And in the playhouse, they give him a little kitchen with plastic pots and plastic chapatis. And a little roller, you know. And the little girl is in ecstasy. You know, I have my own house, you know. No rent. I'm cooking like my mom. Everyone in my little plastic house loves my cooking. I'm bliss. But it's just an imitation. It's not the real thing. When she grows up, then she can actually participate in the real cooking. So we have to grow up and participate in the real activities. Then we'll be happy. Otherwise, we can stay here and suffer as long as we want. And be completely convinced that I am the best, I'm doing the best thing, everyone else is crazy, I'm the only sane person around here. I'm the only worthy of praise. Anyone who doesn't praise me is a demon. They deserve whatever they get, which is not going to be very nice. So we may have all these crazy ideas, but anyhow, the Hare Krishna movement and coming in contact with Krishna is the one thing that will make us sane. Everything else is just feeding the fuel of our problematic existence here. Hope against hope. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the lecture. I'm curious, I would like to understand more why psychology is not good.
And psychology is great. Therefore, we read Bhagavad Gita as the perfect psychology. You mean material psychology? Because the people who made it up are crazy.
Yeah, like the therapy and all this.
Oh, I don't know. It may work. I mean, for crazy people, they need some crazy help. Why doesn't it work? Because they're crazy. That's why. Because they don't know what the problem is. Because they can't really. They themselves are anxiety. It's the blind leading the blind. They don't know they're eternal. They don't know why they're suffering, because they're contemplating the objects of the senses, trying to enjoy the material world. I mean, look at this. Most of the psychologists, of which there is. I mean, I was there. It just so happened in the college that I went to, there was only one psychology they taught, which was called behavioral modification. But we had a little introduction in the freshman year, to Maslow and Freud. I studied before I went to college. I thought he was crazy. But I thought he needed a psychiatrist. He did, actually. But the introduction. But now I don't know. Everyone has their own field of psychiatry or psychology. But the fact is, they don't know. It's really simple. We're eternal. We're trapped by the material world because we want to, we're just looking around, trying to exploit material nature, contemplating the objects of senses, developing attachment for them, lust, and from lust comes greed and anger, delusion, bewilderment, memory, and intelligence is lost. So if you're walking around just losing your intelligence, you don't know who you are. You don't know you're a spiritual being, that there's a supreme spiritual person. Whatever you're doing is just a waste of time. It's just wrong. And especially psychiatry, so psychology. I remember when I was preaching at the universities, I applied for, when I was in the University of Texas, I was there for some time. So I applied, I was accepted there also. I was the president of a preaching center there, and we used to do college programs. And I went to all these different university administrations, what do they call that, where they have the different programs at the university, different fields, departments. I went to all the departments. And the worst department at the whole university who didn't want to have anything to do with us was the psychology department. They didn't want to hear anything from us because it's all nonsense. They don't want to hear the truth at all. Because as soon as you hear the truth, I mean, I remember when I went to college as a student. I was a devotee as a student. And boy, did they not like me. I mean, at that time, everyone had long hair, And actually, in my college, there was Burjan Prabhu, if you know Burjan. There's Jagadish Prabhu. Trivikra Maharaj, and there were a number of others who went to the same college. Bhagavan went there. And one class I was in, there was Trivikra Maharaj was there. This is before he was a sannyasi, and Burjan was there, and I was there. And he appeared in the class. The first one was Burjan. He had a shaven head, and everyone thought, they were all kind of like getting away from him. I didn't want to get too close. And everyone has long hair, it was just, it was the 70s, the late 60s. And then Trivikram shaved his head. And boy, wow, this is getting contagious. Something really dangerous is going around here. And then I shaved my head. Oh boy, it was... So this is the so-called learning at these universities. The exact opposite. I mean, even when I was friends with Jagadish Prabhu and myself were friends before, when we went to college in our freshman year. I remember he dropped out of college in the freshman year. I remember him coming up and talking to one of my professors, and he mentioned the word God, and I was so embarrassed. This is my sophomore year. I was so embarrassed someone saying that word in front of people. Just to hear the word God was like embarrassing. That was the kind of mentality. So, you know, not only the psychology department, but everyone was crazy. The whole thing is nonsense. Prabhupada came there in 60, I guess it was 69, yeah. And he came to this, he did a program at the university. And Prabhupada played the mridanga. It was the only time I ever saw him play the mridanga, heard him play the mridanga directly. And then started to give a talk, and it was all about God. And I thought, my God. No one talks about God around here. And Prabhupada kept on talking about God, and he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the students started to get up and walk out. And Prabhupada didn't faze him at all. He just kind of kept on talking. He wasn't into playing to the audience at all. And I was in bliss, you know. I mean, but I thought, wow, you know, I'd never give a lecture like this. But Prabhupada wasn't interested in trying to please the whole audience. He was trying to find one or two sane people in there. Anything else? Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. It's true. I asked also because many times I found psychologists themselves are a bit...
Yeah, that's why I got into it. My cousin was a psychiatrist. No, he's a psychologist. And I got interested in it, so I thought maybe I'll become a psychologist. Actually, I was going to become a psychiatrist. And then I studied Freud. I studied every book all the books that Freud wrote. And then I found out, then I got to know my cousin, I found out he was completely crazy. He was really nuts. And I thought maybe this is not such a good idea. But it was during the war in Vietnam, so I figured I got to stay here. I said I'd be crazy if I didn't do something. I didn't want to go, and you know, by that time I realized the whole society was crazy.
Freud was crazy as well.
Oh yeah, he was completely. But anyone who's not Krishna conscious, they're more or less crazy. You have to be, because Maya takes away the intelligence. Everything they're doing is just a waste of time.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I have a more technical question. We were talking about embryo also, né? And people nowadays, it happens to be a lot of killing of embryo.
Oh yeah. Man.
And they think it's not killing a human body. I mean, a human. They think it we become human when the body develops.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, when is the moment when the soul enters into the body?
Well, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the soul actually falls down from the... Well, one way of the soul entering into the sperm, because the soul is actually in the sperm of the male, but one way he gets into there, he falls down from the heavenly planets in the form of rain. And then the rain is fertilized, the soul is in the raindrop, and then the soul enters into the grains. And then the man eats the grains, it turns into semen, and he injects it into the woman. So at the time of conception, the soul is always there, but at the time of conception, when the body is formed, that's when the soul enters into that form.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Kuala Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.